Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut in the Clock. Noon on a Wednesday, which means it is Hut in the Clock. Caroline Willie D. Mace. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joining us now is Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hut, always appreciate your insight, and we had some breaking news this morning. Stephon Diggs being traded to the Houston Texans for a 2025 second, a 2025 fifth, and a 2024 sixth round pick. Your initial reaction to the move, what this means for the Texans, and what this means for the AFC South as a whole.
Well, the Texans just became the maybe they already were, the Detroit Lions of last offseason with all the hype, right? That's the first thing that comes to mind. Well, they're loading up, and the benefits of having the rookie contract for your quarterback. From the Buffalo side of things, think about where this team was when they didn't have the football in overtime against Kansas City, and they changed the overtime rule because of Allen and Mahomes to where they are now. And in knowing that they gave Diggs the contract restructure, gave him more money a little over a year ago, and here they sit without him on the roster, with that being some of the underlying storyline of last year, even going into minicamp, where he was there, he wasn't there, they didn't really know, but then he was there the whole time, according to McDermott. The whole thing was strange. The rift between him and Allen that they tried to smooth over but didn't really do that. This is Buffalo taking the cap hit all of this year because it'll be a post-June 1st official trade. And it's right in the middle of Josh Allen's prime. You know, they've paid the guy. Now they're down a couple of wide receivers, and they're down their best wide receiver, their best weapon. It's a totally different Buffalo team with McDermott already on the hot seat. Just read some of the articles going into last season for him. Yeah, it's a crossroads moment for that franchise, where if you compare it to Kansas City, they trade Tyreek Hill, but it's who they gave contract extensions to prior to that and after that, and what they've done with it with Mahomes. Josh Allen, on the other hand, we haven't seen that bar raised. And this is another example of them saying, hey, we've got to move forward without our top receiver, and we're going to have to take the hit now. I don't see them as anywhere close to the team we thought they would be in 2024 when we saw this team play in January of 2022. It's very surprising and maybe even stunning how quickly that has unraveled up north.
Life comes at you fast in the National Football League.
And they're about to start selling PSLs for their new stadium too.
Great point. It's a great point. And hey, again, we could be sitting here with Buffalo having a new coach next year.
Yeah.
I don't like firing guys a year out, but I mean, that's another factor just to mention with Allen, a quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the league in his prime.
And we were looking at his cap number. You were mentioning, as we did in the first hour, when you've got that good quarterback on the first deal, it's time to make hay. And hopefully Levis gets to that point where he gets some momentum and you're like, we can win with this guy while he's cheap. But Allen now is on that second contract where you have to not only make the big money, but you got to elevate everybody else. His cap hit has got to be addressed in the next couple of years. It really balloons.
And the restructure, they can do that. You know, they can restructure, but what do they do around him now? Just compare it to what Houston's doing, Willie, where you have Dalton Schultz, you have now Diggs, you've got young pieces at receiver anyway that were stepping up this past season. Mixon's now joining the mix in the backfield. I mean, it's quite the offense. And then you also have the defensive rookie of the year coming back, of course, on defense with a young defense and a defensive-minded head coach. I mean, it's a prime example of if you hit on the quarterback, all the other pieces can come together fairly quickly because you can allocate funds the way you need to.
And I'm glad you bring that up because I agree wholeheartedly. And I know that Titans fans look at this move and think, oh my gosh, great. Now we have to deal with Houston in the AFC. Now we have to deal with Houston and Jacksonville and potentially Indianapolis in the division. But could you also look at this from a Titans perspective with a little bit of encouragement that in 2 years, Houston went from being the laughingstock of the league to now a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, I mean, it's why you have to hit on your picks. I mean, they built this team really through the draft. I mean, we're viewing it through the lens of free agency right now, but it's why they can spend this money right now, Caroline, here in Nashville, and why they're tops in spending currently. It's because of the rookie contract situation. They took the hits along the way this past couple of years, but you're not spending upwards of $30 to $40 million at quarterback, right? Like that, you're able to move forward and allocate money. You could have done that at left tackle, just the free agent market wasn't there. You can do that at the prime positions, like cornerback, and wide receiver, and help out your rookie. But you've got to have that leader and the moxie at that position in order for everything to come into place. These other pieces are not going to reach the top level of expectation without Will Levis raising the bar this season going into year number two. That also is factored into whether or not Carthon made the right call. We'll judge all this in the upcoming season and years to come. But ultimately, it's whether or not they get the quarterback on the path towards greatness. He doesn't have to be a legendary quarterback in 2024-25, but he has to continue to progress. And that's why they made the hire they did. Everyone's touting what Callahan can do and what they've done in the past. More power to him. He's got the resume. But that's now task number one. You know, they've done and allocated what they could around the quarterback. Now it's about making the quarterback much better than what he was.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton discussing the NFL and the Tennessee Titans and their moves prior to the draft and during free agency, obviously. Jonathan, all of this, regardless of what Houston does or Indianapolis or Jacksonville, and we're just going to stay with the South here, AFC South, no matter what they do in regards to the players they bring in, guys that are no longer on their team, I think the one thing that is critical here for the Titans is the quarterback. I look at what Houston is doing, and they're doing some really good things, but it all works because of the quarterback. If Will Levis progresses the way that I think they believe he can in that building, the Titans are not far away from, say, a Houston or a Jacksonville. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Stroud has the benefit of sticking with an offense now. You know, his offensive coordinator was mentioned and interviewed for jobs, head coaching jobs. It's a very similar situation to that of Ben Johnson in Detroit, really. I'm just comparing the hype. I mean, Stroud now comes back with the same coordinator, the same system, the same speaking the same language, right? This is a new setup for Levis, but by all accounts, when he's allowed to do it, he's been doing it with Callahan and doing some great things communication-wise with what they want to do. So, he's got to learn that. I mean, that's a detriment. Bryce Young's going through that again. I think by and large, we'll see that with Caleb Williams in Chicago, quite frankly. Again, just not trying to fire a guy a year out, but I think it's tough whenever you have a rookie, you invest in your quarterback, and then you switch coaches or offensive coordinators a year in, because this is supposed to be that big year of development. Levis can do that, though. And if they get him on the right track, and he's already on that path, I'm not saying he was awful. He's already on that path. But to get the most out of Will Levis, they've done what they can around him, and now they have an offensive-minded and pass-first coach that fits his style and really the overall type of quarterback that fits the system, I think, that we'll see. So, let it fly. I love it. And it's, can he protect the football? Mm-hmm. Can he read the defense and make the – maybe not even instead of making all these great plays, keep you out of the bad play, right? That comes with just understanding the offense and coverages. That's crucial, and that's about time invested this time of year with the coaches that are supposed to take you to the next level. We'll see. Not every quarterback can do it. Not every coach can do it. But we've seen these coaches work with the best, some of the best, and maybe they can get the best out of Levis. I certainly look at the wide receiving core right now with Hopkins and with Ridley and think it's far better than what we expected this to be a year ago at this time. In the backfield, we'll see. But the type of offense they're going to run, and from what we saw him do in Kentucky in his best year, we certainly saw him in a down year too. Can they protect him? Can they find a crucial piece at tackle? Can they protect him with Bill Callahan now coaching that group? And can Levis elevate this offense to match what this defense is supposed to do now with the investment with Simmons up front and now in the secondary with the money on the outside with Awuzie and now with what we're seeing with L'Jarius Sneed? Yeah, they're saying they're not just rebuilding, which they are. They are not just going into a season, I think kind of like what we're going to see with Buffalo, where they had to release some players due to cap and now trade a huge piece of their offense. The Titans have been spending because they have the money to do so, and they're looking to compete. That's what Amy Adams Strunk has said from day one.
Now, assuming that the Titans go out in the first round and they get a tackle, whether it's Alt, Fashanu, Lathan, one of those guys, but they go out and they – you know, solidify the left side of this line. Second round, obviously there are other needs that they have, but if there's a, you know, a Peyton Willis or a Cooper from Texas A&M, if that guy's out there in the second round, or because they need an inside backer, or if yes. there's the edge rusher, whether, you know, it's Braswell out of Alabama or Robinson out of Penn State, where do you think they go? If those two positions are there for them to get, because they have to address them, whether it be another edge rusher or inside backer, where do you think they go?
I would go edge rusher, personally. I would continue to invest up front. I want to disrupt the quarterback, and I want to defend the pass. Corner is the toughest position right now to play in the league. You're on an island. You're supposed to be on an island. And the rules are stacked against you heavily. You're not supposed to win based on how these rules are set up. It heavily favors the offense. I would say to in order to flip that in your favor, you've got to have your true number one corner, which they've got that in Sneed. And you have to disrupt the quarterback by getting the ball out fast. But you want to get him off the mark. That comes from the interior pass rush. Autry's a big loss. Interior pass rush now, because that's how you affect the quarterback off the spot. And then you have to win one-on-one on the edge in order to either get the sack or get the ball out fast and get the ball out to a player that maybe the offense didn't design or have as a first or second read. That's my mentality on how you win defensively. I view it as also, though, Mace, go with your board. Trust your scouts, trust your player development and overall assessment of this class. And I also don't overlook offensive positions either right there. I there's a big drop-off between Brock Bowers and the rest of the tight end group. I do think they need to address that position. And I also wouldn't overlook a possible stacking up again on the offensive line. I wouldn't, because that is a crucial piece to everything they want to do and how they're going to compete moving forward. And I'm not necessarily sold on the entire group just as a reset. And we don't know. What we don't know is, how does Bill Callahan view what he's inherited? He'll have a big voice in all of this when it comes to those positions specifically. His voice in that room will carry a lot of weight. And if you're saying they're going tackle at seven overall, there's still positions that they need to acquire. And a young wide receiver also comes to mind.
I think you made a really interesting philosophical statement there, Hutt. And if you view this as a long-term project, as much as you can in the NFL, it's dangerous. You can't say, hey, guys, we got this five-year plan. This is going to be awesome.
You don't last that long.
You can't. As I said, when the Browns were at the bottom, and they've been at the bottom a few times, but there was one time with – they were at the bottom. They brought in the guy from Moneyball to run things. And I was like, I told Floyd Reese, I said, Floyd, this is the way to go. This is coming into football now. Analytics, this guy's going to do great.
Did he laugh at you?
And I said, well, they were trading everybody they had for picks. So they were getting a fourth rounder over here, a second rounder. I was like, they got all these picks. This is going to be great. He goes, those guys will be fired in about 3 years. And I was like, but they got this great rebuilding plan. So like a three-year plan. You're fired. You said you come in with that plan, you're going to get fired. You're not going to make it. They're going to write you off when it doesn't happen for a couple years. So it's dangerous. But I think you have a year to where you can say, look, we can't possibly find all of the players to fix all of the holes right now. So when you said the board, you got me up my attention when you said trust the board. You might have a couple of situations where you're like, man, we really need an inside backer. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, just to use the example you threw out there. But the better player on your board is something that isn't maybe as much of a need, but you're like, this guy is just way better. We need good players. I think maybe that's the way to go, is trust your board. Even you have to be prepared for them on the next day to say, well, why didn't you pick? You needed this. You didn't pick a single guy at this position. What were you thinking? But I think that might be the better way to build the roster and get to where you want to go.
I don't know why you're paying the staff and the entire scouting staff to do what they're doing if you don't trust the board. If you're just going to go position by position, just scout those positions only, right? Now, the joke would be the Titans should be scouting every position going into this offseason based on what they need.
They have a lot of needs.
They do.
They only have many picks.
But think about safety. They have Amani Hooker, but what they've done structurally is, if you look at these contracts, it kind of all matches up with a couple of things. Number one, it matches up with Will Levis's rookie deals and the fifth-year option and the extension. Most of them do. And it matches up with the stadium. Those are the two things that come to mind with these terms. Now, we've seen a lot of shorter-term deals, especially at corner this offseason. L'Jarius Sneed's getting a longer term than what most have done. This was via trade, but I'm saying in free agency. But think about from Amani Hooker's standpoint and the way they have him locked up, but the money allocated and whether or not they want to go young again at safety moving forward. Again, all of these things come to mind for me and how you structure your roster, not beyond this upcoming season. Now, if they're doing a true reset, and they are, they've done that. They've hit the reset button. How are you setting yourself up for success sooner rather than later? You trust the positions and the grades that you have on them, the importance of those positions for your overall team and your philosophy. And that's what you have to trust on that day and how the board falls to you. And especially given the fact that right now you don't have that third, I absolutely am viewing the second round as not just need, but true value based on how you have these players graded. And I don't mind the fact that Willie, a great example, and they had a luxury this year. So I understand they had three picks in this round, but the draft of Derrick Henry,
right?
And they had DeMarco Murray. They had just traded for him, and everyone's like, "What are they doing?" They had the luxury of having the extra picks, but that also worked to their favor, although it took some time. But we view Derrick Henry like we view Eddie George now. That has to be in mind in the draft room. It would be for me. I'm trusting my staff that is doing this on an annual basis full time. If you're not doing it on that day, there's no need for it. You just go by all the mocks.
Last one from me, Hutton, quickly. Joe Alt is not there at 7. You're Ran Carthon. What do you do?
Joe Alt's not there at 7. A quarterback is, so I'm trading down.
Hmm. Are you sold on Alt, though? If Alt is there at 7, it's Alt for you? Are you one of those guys? Because every mock draft is saying the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and I told you guys, I would view going into it, I would have paid, and again, I said this flippantly without diving into the free agent value or the trade value for offensive tackle this offseason. This is a month or two ago. I would have gone in free agency off the just surface level at tackle with a veteran and then loaded up at wide receiver at 7. But the way this is all gone and what they've been able to do, I mean, I don't care how Bill Callahan views the offensive line. To be able to pair a young tackle with your young quarterback and then make sure that you – I mean, again, those contracts, if you hit on the first pick and they've got to, those contracts tend to match up and you can elevate your roster around those picks. That's a massive value for a team that's going to be offensive-minded. So, yeah, I'm protecting Will Levis and making sure that he has everything around him and it falls on him and the coaching staff instead of the detriment of talent around the quarterback that's really good. I'm leaning Alt if he's there. And if he's not there, you either go with the tackle that you love, a wide receiver, or you trade down. And again, if tackle goes before the Titans draft, Caroline, that means a quarterback has fallen, and that means one of these teams that's quarterback needy is going to pay a premium price, and that is a luxury for where the Titans are currently slotted to pick with the teams right behind them.
That means Minnesota is salivating, and Minnesota is running
Minnesota,
to pick up the phone.
Minnesota, Denver. I mean, there are a lot of quarterback teams. There are a lot of teams that could make a move. Denver could be one of them. So, or even, again, so many different scenarios of trades, and there are more quarterbacks than maybe I thought there would be in the top 10. J.J. McCarthy comes to mind. There will be a team or two that loves him and needs to move up because they view another team as also similar to them in their mindset. The Titans will have their phone will be buzzing. I don't think it is now. The week of the draft, it will be ringing off the hook for possible scenario setups, much like the scenarios that we saw with A.J. Brown in that year with that trade.
Hutt, you're the best. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll chat with you next week, and thanks for your time, Hutt.
Love you guys, too, and have a great rest of the week. Always enjoy this.
All right, appreciate it. You too, Hutt. All right, we'll react to what Hutton had to say. But coming up next, Predators drop another one last night, 3-0 to the Boston Bruins. I don't think the final score is indicative of how that game went, how back and forth it was. Reasons for concern and reasons for optimism based off of what we saw last night in a Predators 3-0 loss to the Boston Bruins. We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. And hey, if your bracket is not looking so good, trust me, you're not alone. But don't fret. We have one final chance for you to win some great prizes with the 102.5 The Game 4-Team Bracket Challenge. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge and fill out your 4-team bracket to compete to win prizes, including tickets to see Creed at Ascend Amphitheater on August 13th. The 102.5 The Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket.